My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber.
Jackpot.
And we are once again live at Row House Cinema. There it is.
You did it, guys.
Where I am 0-2 on Collier versus Kleiber overrated movie week. But that changes tonight.
I'm sure it does. I heard a lot of people laughing, having a good time.
Because we're here with some Clerks fans. Right? Who like... some of them, maybe. Okay. Anyway, the point is, we're live at Row House Cinema. It's still the overrated films of Collier and Kleiber, and we are going to be talking about Clerks this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
Theme music.
Imagine the theme music. You've listened. Just, you know what it sounds like.
It's an editing thing.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
Fuzzy's good.
Epicast. Are we back?
Yeah.
That's good. That's all right. This could all be in there. He could just be like, oh, this is
no,
great.
No, this is great.
This is great content.
This is great. It's live.
I'm going to leave all of it. Anyway, let's pretend that's the break. It is You Can't Handle the Truth. My name's Sean Collier. I'm joined, as frequently, by Aaron Kleiber.
Yep.
And
we're at one of Sean's movies, Clerks, at Rojas Cinema. We're recording live from the Atlas Bottle Works down below.
Yes. In the bowels of the...
Yeah. The coolest beer cave ever.
And by the way, I was hungry, and I watched this movie two nights ago. So as it began, I went to the other thing under this roof, Smoke Barbecue.
Yeah.
And got some delicious brisket tacos and queso dip.
I was really disappointed when it moved out of Homestead, where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
they had to make decisions, and I get it.
I can endorse Smoke tacos.
I can, too.
That was delicious. In any case... We're talking about Clerks. I'm going to let you go first because you're the one who says Clerks is an overrated movie. So look at these people, this room full of people who don't like you, and tell them why they're wrong about this film they just paid money for.
Well, we can hit on a couple things. I mean, I got a list of things.
All right.
Number one, let's just talk about overall. I think there's a lot of points that are just really boring.
Okay.
They're just really boring. I think the conversations are boring, especially when it's just a two-shot for like 9 minutes. It's really boring. Also, who gives a fuck about Dante? Really? Because I don't. I don't care about Dante.
No, I'm just gonna let you hang out on this one.
When you want to love a movie, you want to care about a character, you want to, you know, see yourself in that character. And if you see yourself in Dante, I feel bad for you.
Wait, really?
I'm gonna be honest. Yes. Maybe I was a very aspiring young man at 22. I was earning my second degree. So
I. I said when we introduced...
Maybe I have no compassion for Slackers,
well,
which
I,
is a better movie.
Okay.
That is pretty much taken from... Never mind. Well, yeah. Well, that's what we're supposed to talk about.
No, yes. It's apparently Kevin Smith watched Slacker by Richard
Linklater.
I mean, he
says he went and watched Richard Linklater's Slacker and was like, I can make a movie just like this.
And he did.
No,
it's great.
He didn't. He didn't at all because Richard Linklater is a filmmaker. And
yeah. But that's the charm. But that is part of the charm. The fact that this clearly is basically a student film that hit.
I will backtrack a little bit on me. Like I don't hate it.
Uh-huh.
I don't hate it. I just think that it's overrated.
Right.
I think there are a lot of independent films that are way better than this.
To your first complaint, I really relate to the people in this movie. And that's the thing I like
you
about
did,
it the
You
most.
Did work at a movie theater.
Because I worked in a movie theater.
I understand that. But I delivered pizza for 5 years.
Well, okay, and that might be different because raise your hand or do something that makes noise since it's an audio format. If you ever worked at a job where you had to stand there and face customers for 8 hours, right? Yeah. Delivery guy is a little different.
As our bartender walks past.
Exactly. And especially, and the reason I really like it here is, I especially at the movie theater,
yeah.
If I was there for a six-hour shift, there was maybe 2 hours and 45 minutes where there was anything going on.
Right.
And the rest of the time, I had to sit there staring at these people, hoping I came up with something to say
sure.
to move the clock another 5 minutes so we could have a little bit of a conversation. So I think it's relatable in a slice of life that doesn't get a lot of movies. And in and with Dante, like, he's a little, he can be grating. I think that's part of the character, and because he's a non-professional actor. But, you know, being nervous about disrupting your life, even though your life is shitty, is a really relatable thing.
Sure, I can understand that. I can understand why people resonate with this.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it should be at the status that it is, because it's not that great of a film, you know, where the status is for it. Does that make sense?
Let's go into the crowd for the first time. Here, watch this professional call. If anyone wants to say anything or ask a question, just come up here. It should be a little more pointed than
well,
that.
Well, we have actually one of our You Can't Handle the Truth guests, Adam Chico's here.
Adam's been on a few podcasts. Yeah. Adam, pop up and, I don't know, say something, because that's how much we structure this. Either
Adam is a creative director and an ad writer. He's written quite a few commercials that I've been in, so thank you for helping me pay my mortgage, Adam.
and I guess answer the question, Clerks, overrated or not?
We talked about this 2 weeks ago, right?
We did.
Kind of. I'm going to say not overrated.
Okay.
Only because I worked in the video store.
Oh.
This coincided with me working in the video store. It came out the exact same time.
Oh, wow. Right?
So, but I was more Dante in the video store than I was Randall.
Randall.
So that's the only problem I had was the lack of respect Randall had, even though you got the same idiotic questions, like you have the movie with that guy kind of questions.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I don't think it's overrated. I think it's kind of right where it should be.
Yeah, I just get really, like a cringy when people say it's, like, one of the best comedies of all time. I think that's a little cuckoo bananas.
That's a little over the top.
Yeah.
But at that time, when I was the same exact age, it hit
that,
the right...
That makes sense. Here's the thing, too, is, like, I feel like that my movie taste has evolved as I've grown up. So movies that I've loved as a kid or in the age that it came out, when it came out, you know, and I'm like, this is the best movie ever made because I'm 17 and I'm in the life experience that I'm in right now. Right. So then I can watch it again later and be like, it was pretty good. I really liked it, but I would not, you know, stick with saying that this is one of the best movies ever made. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, see, I haven't seen this probably, I want to say, 5 years. So I'm actually glad I didn't, because it's like the funny moments. Like, I still remember the funny moments.
Yeah.
It did drag a little bit more for me this go around than it did the first time. I think I pretty much laughed throughout the whole thing. But... yeah, I mean, no, it was just...
And there
just
are funny moments. There are funny moments, but I think the funny moments, that's another thing, a whole other topic, is that I think the funny moments come from some funny acting. And there's a couple funny one-liners. I mean, Kevin Smith is a talented dude. He's made really great movies. He really has.
I think the dialogue is often really good. He has a tendency to, like, pass into... I'm writing really hard from time to time, but the crispness of it, and, you know, the way that a lot of the tags are thrown out, I think is really funny.
Yeah, I think also, too, that I see it as Kevin Smith being this young filmmaker who thinks he's smarter than he is. That's when I see a lot of that smart dialogue, I'm like, relax, dude.
Well, we both, like, think we're smarter than we are, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you see that a lot in young artists.
Sure.
And especially, like, I've made independent films. I can go back. If my first independent film that I wrote and produced and starred in, it was some cult classic, I'd be like, you guys are fucking goofy because this is horrendous. Like, there are good things about it. I'm proud of it. But, you know, like.
And now he's making movies that are just so much worse than this.
Like Tusk?
Did anybody see Tusk? Oh, my God.
It's a really good first 30 minutes.
A crazy old rich man turns a person into a walrus.
Yeah.
And it's a serious horror movie.
And Johnny Depp shows up as a Saturday Night Live character.
And it's the first of a trilogy, so we're going to get more of that.
We're going to get blessed. We're going to get blessed with
Tusk. You know what I miss? Video stores.
Dude, I the reason why I am doing a podcast with Sean Collier, the Pittsburgh film critic, is because all I did was go to the video store.
I know.
I was a latchkey kid. My mom worked two jobs. I went to Farmore, 5 days, $5, five movies, mm-hmm. probably 3 days a week. And I remember being like 12 and picking a comedy, a drama, a cartoon. I'm like, see you love. I'm 13. This has Scarface in it. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I really did. I remember watching Dangerous Liaisons when I was 14. And I'm like, wow. This is because Michelle Pfeiffer.
I just remember, it just was so much more of a ritual. Like,
yeah.
We want to see Prom Night. We're going to get in the car and drive to the big video store to see if they have Prom Night. And if they don't, we're going to drive to the other video store.
If
the other video store doesn't have it, we'll rent Halloween
again. Who's driving you all
again.
Around to these video stores?
I'm talking about when I was like 17.
Oh, yeah.
No, and Dad, there he is. He was driving me to the video
store.
Gene
Collier's here.
But Gene,
you got to say something about Clerks.
Didn't that make watching them better? Like I don't want to go back. I'm glad I can stream almost anything instantly, but like just you think of this experience of kind of blindly staring at Netflix for half an hour before you decide what you want to see versus that going to rent movies ritual.
I remember trying to get all the Friday the 13ths on Friday the 13th and like
mm-hmm.
fight it like trying to get to the movie store as early as possible to get at that point all 8 Friday the 13ths. Yeah, I would get all 8, even Jason Takes Manhattan.
I don't know why I was looking at this. You know that the guy, I forget his name, the inventor of Netflix, or like the key CEO of Netflix, went to Blockbuster.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, it was Elon Musk. Went to Blockbuster in like 2006 and was like, maybe I can run like a streaming thing for you guys. And they laughed him out of the office and said, no one's ever going to watch movies on their computer. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There was definitely some kind of like adrenaline to it. For sure.
Yes.
Like, I remember going when, like, you knew the new releases were coming out, and you'd be so excited. And then they're like, do you remember when the video stores would have 500 copies of one movie, and there would be none?
Right.
None. All because my mom just took too long.
Everybody rented Orange County before you could get there.
Oh, my God. Who did? What?
That's a movie,
Orange
right?
It was fun.
Yeah, it was funny. With Jack Black and what's his name, the guy that was handsome but doesn't exist anymore. What's his name?
Wasn't Colin Hanks in that? Colin Hanks? Yeah.
No, who's the guy from That Thing You Do?
Oh.
You know who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I know you're talking about.
Tom Everett Scott.
Tom Everett Scott. Andy Collier is here, too. Andy Collier has been on some episodes of You Can't Handle the Truth.
Andy, join us for your thoughts. And yeah, the acting is like mostly bad.
I'm gonna.
We'll get back to that.
I'll get back to that.
Andy, Clerks overrated or not?
I'm struggling because I
damn
definitely,
right you are.
I definitely started on your side. I think I'm gonna
your
say
your blood.
I think I'm gonna say not overrated because I don't run into a lot of people that say Clerks is one of the greatest comedies ever, and if you do, you're hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah.
I think it's looked at as a little gem for what it is by like a student film.
I want to talk about inspiration
to other things.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I want to talk about that. Is that I feel like it does hit people a certain time in their life. And that it's a special movie at that time, And I totally understand that. Like, I have friends that are like, it's so funny. Someone was like, dude, I used to do these videos, Watch It For Yous, where I would improvise a movie in 5 minutes on YouTube. And my director and editor, Dustin Dowling, was like, you got to do Varsity Blues because it was football month. It was February, Super Bowl month, you know? And he's like, you got to do Varsity Blues. I was like, oh, are you serious? He goes, dude, that movie's awesome. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, there are a lot of funny parts in Varsity Blues. Sure, that's fine. But then it came out the year he graduated high school and he played football.
Oh, no. See, now it's not.
But that makes total sense.
Now it's not an excuse anymore, because I was about to say he was 14 and had a sexual awakening because there was a whipped cream bikini with cherry nipples. And that's.
I mean, that was a good part.
But if you're 18.
And Bubba, what is his name? Bubba? Tan! Tan! That's hilarious.
I'll tell you this, though. I had this.
Fucking tan. That's hilarious.
I had the soundtrack to Varsity Blues.
And also, that teacher is one of the hottest stripteases in movie history.
Well, I've never made that list for myself.
I mean, I didn't either. I mean, it's not like I subscribe to Mr. Skin, but I don't. But what I'm saying is, like that, I mean, it's, you know, I was like 19 when, 20 when that came out. I mean, yeah.
When's the last time you spun that Varsity Blues soundtrack with that Collective Soul playlist?
I think I sold that at Record Exchange and then went to a video store and rented Prom Night about 12 years ago. Andy Collier, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Andy Collier. What I mean is like, I totally get it. I totally get it why people like it, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it's not one of those things where, like, every time we go to, like, AMC Lowe's to see a brand new screener,
on their name tags, they have their name and their favorite movie.
Yeah, and I always question people about their favorite movie. So
and it has been Free Willy. It has been my favorite movie is Free Willy.
I mean, so when I see people that, you know, it's not like I treat people that love Clerks. Like when I go up and see someone in a name tag that says their favorite movie is Transformers 2.
Right.
Like, that person, I'm just like, you don't exist, you shouldn't vote or have children.
Right.
Like, that's like, but Clerks is a good movie. A good movie, and I appreciate how it is an independent film.
Here's a Clerks-style semantic argument. I think it's only overrated if you believe that there are a lot of people who think it's one of the best comedies ever made. I'm with you. It's not. I don't think there are that many people who say that. I think most people like, this is really cool. It has a lot of funny parts, and they made it for $27,000, and I love it.
I talk to people about movies a lot.
And people
like
say...
everybody I know.
And people
and
say...
And also, like, some of the guys I grew up with... I remember guys I grew up with... I mean, one of my friends, who's an amazing author, I've mentioned before, he wrote a couple superhero novels and stuff. He's awesome, Justin Bedulla. But like, he was wearing the trench coat and the backwards like penguin's hat because of Silent Bob, and he like worshipped it. So my buddies that, you know, I used to smoke weed with and hang out with, they like worshipped this movie, and I'm like, I'm an asshole. I don't get it. Like, I just don't like. And I have a theory for that as well.
What's your theory for that?
Well, I think because when it came out and I should have liked it like all my friends and, you know, I think that I have a better taste for comedies because I watched so many old comedies growing up.
Okay.
That I feel like that a lot of people that experienced one of their first comedies when they were teenagers or in their 20s was Clerks. I can understand that. But like, I grew up on, you know, Mel Brooks movies and the Three Stooges and, you know, Airplane. And I loved, you know, John Hughes movies. So when something comes up and like talking about snowballs is supposed to be funny, I'm just like, I don't like crass humor isn't funny to me as much as, you know, something that's more satirical.
Yeah.
Or...
I think
crass humor is very easy.
I think that I like,
and also it was pretty out of place in the movie where it's just like, we're going to have a relationship talk, and it's like, like a little throwaway blowjob. Like,
I just think that when I like crass humor is when it's in really smart context. And I think that's what's going on here.
I think he just threw it in. It seemed pretty thrown in.
I get what you're saying about, yes, I think a lot of the people who this is one of their favorite movies, it was probably one of the first serious comedies they saw.
Yeah.
I'd say the same thing about Shawshank. Yesterday we had an event on Shawshank where I tried to convince people that Shawshank is overrated.
Loser.
I did not succeed. But I would say the same thing. I think a lot of people are like 13, 14, and they're just bare, like, they went through their kids' movies phase, and then they went through their, like, you know, PG-13 action movies, and Shawshank Redemption is one of the first serious movies they sit down and watch, and they're like, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I think
that's I don't know about that. I don't think that falls in that same category, just because, I mean, I think anybody at any age watched Shawshank, which is why it's on lists of great films, and it's highly rated, which we agree that a lot of the ratings of the lists are, it's a little high. But I feel like the number of people, I don't think you can, like, make it down to a group, a small age group. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like
that's true.
Every age really loved Shawshank.
Back to Clerks, you leaned over after I finished my taco, and I think Jason Mewes is the best actor in this movie.
He's the best actor because he's playing himself.
Yeah.
Somebody who I can see Jason Smith or Kevin Smith knowing him for years, and it's a kind of a thing where my first independent film, I put in my buddy from high school, Mike D.
Yeah.
And we're like, he can play this character because he's hilarious and he can do it. It's hilarious. Yeah. He'll just be himself. And so Kevin Smith knows Jason Mewes. He's like, we're going to do this because this is what we do anyway.
Yeah.
And he was very natural. That's why he was funny. Now, if the other actors could have acted more natural, they would have been way better. I think Randall is a piece of goddamn cardboard.
Oh, no.
And the cardboard has his lines written on it.
What's his name, Jeff? Anybody? Bueller?
Oh, the...
Jeff Anderson. See, I was up there thinking he's the second best in the movie.
Only because Kevin Smith can write a little bit.
No, I thought that he's very, I mean, obviously natural, but I thought it looked like a good delivery.
It's a lot of his sit-down, two-shot conversations.
You think he's reading a cue card.
It looked like it felt like a table read. He was very memorized.
Well, yeah, but he's not an actor. This is a roadblock in the argument because this is all part of the charm.
Well, I think just part of that is just saying how great of a film it is.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I think knock it down a peg.
All right. Let's go back into the crowd.
Caitlin was a pretty good actress.
Oh, I thought she was terrible. She's the one I was like, stop talking. You can't even say words
convincingly. I thought she was fine.
Join us again. This is... So about a year and a half ago, we did a live event from on the movie Deathbed.
Yeah, at Arcade Comedy Theater.
And there were like three people there. And one of them came yesterday, and two of them are here today. So all of our Deathbed people are making repeat
appearances. So introduce yourself to everybody.
I'm Lucy. Hi. I don't think it's overrated. So I have to side on this side. I think it's about time and place, really.
Yeah.
But I also think the first time I saw it on the screen. I also used to work in a movie theater. Uh-huh. And when I watched it on TV, it's been a little bit harder to kind of, you know, get through. And now seeing it on the screen again, I have a whole new appreciation for it, mm-hmm. completely. And so everything from, you know, even the lack of real actors or whatever the case, and I do think that the dialogue is really smart. And I wonder, though, if it were delivered better, I wonder if you would think differently about it.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, you know, I think his writing is pretty decent. But as a young filmmaker, he definitely has lapses where I'm like, he thinks he's smarter than he is, and he's writing like a young writer.
Like, as most do.
I'm going off. Yeah, you know, I've been waiting to say this forever in my first film. You know what I mean? It just feels real trite and kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it feels that way to me.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, and I think it is part of the charm, the delivery, the way it is, the time period, the fact that it was kind of the first film that did this. It really paved the way for films of this nature, and I think that a lot of young filmmakers looked at this film and thought, wow, like, I could actually do something. And I think from this point on, I think that's when film schools exploded. Actually, it was in the mid-90s, you know, coming out of the 80s and going into the mid-90s. I think it was a real kind of test of that. So that's
I mean, I would agree with you in a way that it definitely made aspiring filmmakers think, like, I could film my friends sitting in a room and make a movie. But I would also say that independent film really boomed in the earlier 90s, right before this. I think it did help. I think it definitely showed that it was a little bit easier, because I think the film that I worshipped as a young filmmaker was El Mariachi, Robert Rodriguez.
And I mean, did come a couple years earlier.
Yeah, correct. And also, I mean, Quentin Tarantino was really making some. I mean,
this is after Reservoir Dogs, and
is after Reservoir Dogs. I mean, so there was definitely, and then there, you know, Sex, Lies, and Videotape was a huge independent film. But I would agree with you that definitely made people think like, oh, like, I don't have to make this big theatrical thing. I could definitely just write a stage play and film it.
And the fact that it remained a part of the culture.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know, this happens every now and then that there's a, you know, micro, you know, no budget thing that hits at a film festival and then maybe gets a little distribution. Yeah. And you hear about it that year. The fact that, you know, then 5 years later and still 10 years later and now 20 years later, people are still like, oh, you haven't seen Clerks, you got to see it. It's a good time. That is, you know, a little inspiration. Yeah. Now, I'm saying Clerks is inspirational. I'm gonna go there to hammer this point home.
It does make
you think, shit.
Yeah.
Like if I have a great idea, it could not just be the thing that gets me going. It could be, you know, part of my legacy forever. I got to make a goddamn movie right now.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Like, I'm, you know, I don't want to be on this side. Like, I don't hate it. I really don't. I mean, and also, like, something that Sean and I are in a beautiful film relationship.
Uh-huh.
Where when Sean really likes something and I'm like, eh, I will watch it again because this is a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And we compromise. And so,
and you show me all of the 80s action movies.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like,
that
and I'm
he
like,
wouldn't let me see as a child.
Not even Predator. How did he not see Predator, Gene?
He hasn't seen it.
I mean, like, I was like, get over my house right now and watch fucking Predator.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And it was great.
It's so good.
I ain't got time to bleed.
So good. But, like, no, like, so watching this, I was really happy to see, because when you watch old movies in a theater, which is why Row House is just spectacular.
Yes.
You see so much more when you watch it on a big screen, because you're in your movie tunnel. That's why I love movies. You can just live in that movie, and there's no other distractions.
And the nice thing here, most weeks, when I haven't ruined the business for 7 days by making them show Crash, there's a nice mix of stuff like The Shawshank Redemption or Clerks, and then something that maybe you probably haven't seen, or sometimes stuff, something that's in Pittsburgh for the first time. Did you see the trailer for Tokyo Tribe?
Yeah,
Oh my God. What did I say yesterday? It's like angry Japanese Pitch Perfect with swords. It's like, yes, I'm in.
It's Pitch Perfect meets the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to be here for that.
Well, what I mean is like that watching this, it does let me appreciate it a little bit more for why my friends do like Clerks and why Sean likes Clerks. You know, I mean, I even watched parts of Anomalisa a little bit more, trying to figure out why Sean named it the number one movie of the year, and I still can't fucking figure that out. So
I don't even know why I did that.
But no, I do have a better appreciation for Kevin Smith as a writer.
Yeah.
I chalk it up to I just didn't give him a chance as a young independent filmmaker.
What do you think the best one is? What's the best Kevin Smith movie?
I mean, I really like Dogma. I think it's 40 mm-hmm. minutes too long.
Yeah.
Mallrats has moments, but I think Chasing Amy is one of the best complete Kevin Smith movies.
Clap if you agree that Chasing Amy is the best. Yeah, or if Clerks is the best. No, wow. Almost no one.
So Chasing Amy should be one of the best comedies.
And if you go with Jersey Girl, no. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. No, that was...
There's still funny Jason Mewes moments in that.
Oh, there definitely are.
For sure.
There are very, very funny moments. What was I going to bring up? That's the kind of podcast this is, where every now and then I go, what the hell was I talking about again?
Berserker is funny.
That's very funny.
That's super funny.
Here's
Jason Mewes getting him to...
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Come on. He's like, all right.
And you heard the recorded version later?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And... I lost it again. I'm so sleepy today, where I was about to make a point, then you said Berserker, and now all I can think about is goddamn Berserker. Here, this is what it was.
Okay.
Here's good filmmaker instincts. Do you know about the original ending?
I know what you're talking about, but tell everybody.
Does anybody know the original ending for Clerks? It goes, everything you saw there, Randall throws the tarp back in, says you're closed. Doesn't cut. Dante goes back around the counter and is, you know, doing paperwork or whatever it might be. He didn't lock the door, so someone comes in and shoots and kills him and robs the convenience store. And it's like,
yeah, that's right.
Why did you ever think that was how to end this movie? Like, why? Like, just, oh, never mind, he's dead now. No.
His life is in shambles.
Good move to cut that.
And he's chosen it.
Yeah, and then we wouldn't get Clerks 2 with Rosario Dawson. That was funny. That had Randall's speech about Lord of the Rings is the most accurate thing ever. You know what I'm talking about?
I know. I got to watch it again.
All right, I'll do the whole routine for you after we stop recording,
because okay.
That would be... And Clerks 3 is coming out, by the way.
Come on.
Well, he's said...
That give Jason Mewes a job. Like, that's the only thing that I'm concerned
actually,
about.
Actually, that is why Clerks 2 got
great.
Made.
Great.
Kevin Smith said, if you finally get off drugs, I'll make Clerks 2 for you.
I actually went... I don't know if you... You know, Kevin Smith owns comic book stores in New York and L.A. or New Jersey and L.A.
Yeah.
And I went to the one in L.A. and Jason Mewes was just straight up working at the comic book store.
Yeah.
He works at the comic store. Talked to him for like 25, 30 minutes. Coolest, funniest dude.
I'm
totally
sure.
Get it. Like, you're like, I want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
You're a fun guy to hang out with. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, I mean, yeah. He's a funny dude, naturally. Like, you know it immediately. He has so much charisma. But heroin takes charisma away from a person.
So, we'll make Clerks 2, and you get off the heroin.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I did clap if you enjoyed Clerks 2.
Yeah.
No. All right.
Andy, yeah.
It was fun.
I want to see about what Gene Collier thinks about
it. Do you mind?
Clerks. Gene Collier, guys.
Stopping here on his way to the nightly sports call.
I always introduce Gene. Gene always tells me when I open for Gene to announce him as the Pulitzer Prize losing columnist,
yeah, right.
Which I think is hilarious.
I only have really two observations on this whole thing. I only ever saw parts of Clerks because every time it was on, I thought, well, no, I'm not watching this. So I'm glad to have seen it all the way through. And I think it's pretty good. I think there's a real effort in the writing, and I think your point, Aaron, is right. It's like it's in spots. It's like way overwritten, but I think the two things I think are that, you know, it looks like a student film, and it really, really, really looks like a student film where they play hockey on the roof. I mean, they should have looked at that and said no. This can't be in any movie.
Yeah.
This is so bad it can't be.
As much as I love hockey and that Dante's wearing a Penguins jersey,
we
don't need it.
That is really bad. But the thing I thought that it was really good about it was the thing they were getting into at the end, where they were talking about, you know, what you bring to any job and what you feel your responsibility is. And then what they didn't get into is the kind of the mirror image of that, where, you know, the people that you're interacting with have some kind of expectation on it too. Like, Sean, you were talking about the era of the blockbuster stores. And, like, you could go into the blockbuster store and you could run into somebody like Dante. And you could also run into somebody who was just so excited to see you and couldn't wait. I remember one time My brother was here. My brother Pat was in town, and he took them to rent a movie or something. And he was in Blockbuster, and the clerk came around the counter and came up to him and said, "Can I tell you how Blockbuster works?" And my brother said, "I don't think it's too complicated." Those are the only things.
Thank you, Gene Collier, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think one of the crux of the movie, is that correct, Sean? You're
that
a writer.
That is correct.
I have to get the Collier's approval when I try to use big words.
Let's put that word on white type on a black background.
Yeah, I think Randall's shining moment is when he says that, like, basically, how dare you think that you're better than the people that come in here?
Right.
And it really sums up things like, you know, yeah, you're right. Bye, Gene Collier.
You know he is. I mean? He's going to do the nightly sports call on.
He's going to go television.
Yeah.
Going to do television. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. I think it does sum it up. So, you know, when you sum it up like that, I'm kind of like, you kind of made your point there.
That's a theme I like a lot, and I said the exact same thing about Anomalisa. I really like stories where it's maybe you're the dick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That you know, we have a tendency to be like, I'm getting so screwed, you know, the work is terrible and they're jerking me around. And a lot of people have a lot of difficulty looking inward and saying, how am I contributing to my station in life?
Right.
And that's
it's basically all Dante's fault and quit being a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You sound like an asshole is like the movie in one line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else want to join us? And we're not going to force you, but if anyone else has questions or anything to say, if not, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
By doing this. Make some noise if Clerks is overrated. Hear that? Now you know how I felt yesterday when I was trying to tell people not to love Andy Dufresne so goddamn much, all right?
Yeah.
Make some noise if you think Clerks is accurately rated as a very good film. There we go.
Point Team Collier.
It's the only point I'm going to get, so I'm here to savor it.
Hey. Yeah, because on Thursday, I will be I'm at a comedy festival in Los Angeles.
We're going to tell them about that later because by the time the podcast listeners hear that, that'll be a long time ago. So,
oh yeah, geez.
Instead, we'll just say...
Oh, yeah, I don't want anybody to go. I was just, no. I was ready to say, oh, but the podcast listeners
yeah,
don't care.
That'll
I'm
be
saying
done.
It for the people here.
Yes.
So,
so we'll do that after we start recording.
Cool.
So, I had no plan to get out of this podcast. Howard, let's play another crowd round of Has Sean Seen It?
Oh, yeah. We to play this game on the podcast because Sean started watching movies for some ungodly reason, like when he was like 25 or something.
Here's,
I don't know.
I've explained it 10 times. Here's the thing. I, for all of my life, was just really into going to the movies. That's what I love is going to the movie theater. So as soon as I had a driver's license... If I had time to watch a movie, I went to the theater. I didn't care what it was.
You didn't rent a lot of movies.
I mean, I did, but before I could drive, I was just a horror nut.
Yeah.
So I went to the video store all the time, but it was to rent Texas Chainsaw for the fourth time.
Right.
So before...
Yeah, Sean is very caught up on horror movies.
Yeah. So before 2002, 2003, I'm a little spotty.
Which
after that,
crazy
I've seen everything.
To me. Like, I've showed Sean for the first time...
Die Hard.
Predator. Die Hard. Look at him shaking his head.
I watched Big Trouble on my own. What else have we done?
What else did I show you for the first time?
There's a couple of bad ones. I just and Tamara, my girlfriend Tamara, made I had to buy a 3-disc Blu-ray set because so she would stop shaming me when she found out I hadn't seen Goonies or Gremlins.
Like I know,
and she was so angry that I went to Target and bought the 3-disc Blu-ray Goonie, Gremlins, and Gremlins 2.
Like so I was trying to I was upset that he didn't see Monster Squad. Okay, I know. And I go, well, you know, it's like Goonies with Universal Monsters. And he's like, I've never seen Goonies. And then I just walked away from him. So you got to catch up on Goonies, and yeah, then you watch Monster Squad, right? That's a good order.
So this is the game. And I went 0 for 3 yesterday, but people had some terrible questions.
Yeah, no, that's
There was a documentary that I'm sure is good. I already forget what it was. And then someone asked me if I had seen Freddy Got Fingered. It's like, and I'm happy that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... It's something you may have rented in college.
Right, but the point is, it's something that's like, dude, you're a film critic. You should have seen this by now. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, Aaron, go into the crowd.
Let me give you a
precursor. Can I go 2 for 3 or better?
I'll give you a precursor. Like I said, Sean has seen a lot of good horror films, and he has seen most films, I'd say.
From the past 15 years.
At least 10. So, if anybody wants to give a movie, has Sean seen it? Let's do that now.
Brian. No, I have not.
Oh my God, John Candy's so good in that!
I believe you. And now I feel...
When the Jamaican bobsled team, come on!
And now I feel really bad because last week, because this is my job now, I saw Eddie the Eagle, which is a movie about a far less interesting competitor in those same Olympic Games.
Yeah, that's
right. At one point in that movie, they're like, the Jamaican bobsled team is getting all the attention. And I'm like, I should be watching that movie.
Ha.
I don't need to see Eddie the Eagle.
All right, that's one. All right. Anybody else got a movie? Has Sean seen it?
Tank Girl. No, I haven't seen Tank Girl.
Oh, Tank Girl's pretty good,
And that's very much like if I were born 3 years earlier, I would have watched Tank Girl in somebody's basement.
I think you would like Tank Girl.
I probably would. Now I'm 0 for 2. Can I avoid
shame?
We got
one right here. How about The Great Outdoors? The Great Outdoors. Thank you for staying with John Candy. One of the funniest, one of my favorite comedies of all time.
No.
Dude! Now let's, you know what, fuck it, let's just name John Candy movies, because I want you to be shamed.
I will say that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is in my 10 favorite movies of all time.
Go ahead, have you seen Uncle Buck? No. Sean, what the fuck? Can you come over tomorrow?
Do you have Uncle Buck?
Yes, I got Uncle Buck!
No, see, this is what happens. I can't come over tomorrow because we got to go watch Whiskey Tango Foxtrot so I can talk about it on the damn radio. This is how the cycle perpetuates.
Dude, what the fuck? I own Great Outdoors and I own Uncle Buck.
All right, we're gonna have a marathon.
One more John Candy movie.
I'm about to go to the first 0 for 5.
One more John Candy movie.
Oh God. Yes, that's also in my top 10. That's in my top 10 favorite movies.
Yeah, he's okay on the vacations.
Yes,
he's good.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Do you see what I go through every time we do this? Like, I learned something new. It's almost, let's go back to Clerks, where it's kind of like I'm Dante finding out that Sean has given so many blowjobs that, like, I'm like, you haven't seen Uncle Buck? Uncle 37? Like, that's how I feel. Oh. Anyway, close this out. You're a soft-spoken guy. I just did a set. Go ahead.
That was the closing.
Oh, okay.
You were supposed to go, 37, and then we're done, and the music comes back,
that
and
is
it would
good.
Have been great. That
well,
been
no,
good.
Guys, thank you so much for joining
thank
us down.
Thank you for coming to Row
the,
House Cinema.
At the Atlas Bottle Works for the live podcast. Check out Row House Cinema. This is kind of for you. You guys are already here, but Row House Cinema shows amazing films of yesteryear and sometimes new ones.
Can I tease? Here, we'll go out on this because I want to brainstorm. For you. Can I tease the 2 monthly themes we were talking about yesterday? I love this so much.
April and May?
April is going to have April Showers Week, movies with iconic rain scenes. And I love that so much. What is Freaks, Jurassic Park, Say Anything, and The Truman Show.
Sean has seen none of them.
I have seen... I have seen all of those.
Wow.
I have seen all 4. And then, because we did April, they're doing April Showers Week, they're doing May Flowers Week. Movies with iconic flower scenes. American Beauty and 3 more.
Yeah, we don't know which ones yet.
All right.
Flowers in the Attic? No.
I said Big Fish, but you showed it fairly recently, right? Magnolia.
Oh, Magnolia is one of my favorite movies. I wrote a paper on that in college.
The problem is, and then you couldn't show any other movies that week because it's 12 hours long. Big Fish. That has they're in the thing, and he's got all the flowers, and it's romantic. And I bawled like a goddamn baby at the end of that movie.
Yeah, Big Fish.
When he is carrying his dad to the river, oh my god! Spoiler!
Spoiler alert!
Sorry,
you're supposed to be a goddamn professional.
All right, all right. You can't show Big Fish anymore. I ruined it for 14 people. Never.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks very much.
We had good times.
We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, K-L-E-I-B-E-R. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.